I was noticing about these particular cons that I called in for us this week, that I think that partly what was up for me was, it's almost like Anna Sphere's poem, you know, in that, whether in daytime or in nighttime, always I carry inside a light. In the midst of noise and confusion, I carry silence. Always I carry light and silence. And the stone woman and the wooden man just call to me, I think because of the way they hold both the, in the midst, they carry the midst and also the light and silence to, at least to my heart, and also a sense of play, which I think we could all use a little bit of right now. I'm here to play with you, and I hope you're here to play too, even in the midst of everything, especially in the midst of everything. So I thought that I might I did some poking around just because I kind of felt like it, to find a couple of the several of the different instances, and some of you may know other ones, in which the stone woman and the wooden man are invoked. And to my heart and mind, there is in this moment a sense of invocation, of our heart minds, mine for sure, but I think more than just mine, calling forth out of the lengthening night, and out of the cooling earth, and the sky that kind of leans in differently right now, and out of the uncertainties of the time, and our heart's longings for well-being for all. There's a sense of invoking the power of that which we cannot see, but which we're made of and intimate with. Almost as if the invocation is like a bringing together of the two halves of a token, that some of you may not have met this reference yet, but Joan Sutherland refers to the ancient Chinese custom, and certainly in other parts of the world as well, of that when two people were parted, they would divide something and each take half, so that if a messenger came back, they better have that half of the token, or you could look forward to the reunion of each other and of being together and putting the tokens together. And in some way that what we're doing in in our practices of touching the great matter is both sometimes offering half a token to each other and sometimes bringing tokens together. So it feels to me in a way as if we're calling to the depths and in the depths of ourselves for that reunion. I don't know whether what I just said made any sense or not, so we better just sit quietly and don't worry about it. So you know about that the stone woman gives birth in the middle of the night. And the stone woman gets up to dance. And you've already written some beautiful responses. And the wooden man begins to sing. And those ones seem to have originated with Dongshan. We've spent time with other things Dongshan has said before, but I'll read you that verse later. But then there's this one other that I will read as we go into the meditation, and then I promise, shut up. Actually, I'm going to save that one other because this is enough for us to drop into our meditation already. The stone woman gives birth in the middle of the night. So when I want to hold a koan like this, I don't worry about trying to lean towards it or trying to pull it in any way. First, I just sit and allow it, welcome it, the stone woman gives birth in the middle of the night. Right here. Sitting together. This here-ness unfurling in my heart without end. How can it be? Impossible. And yet, middle of the night. Stone woman gives birth. Dongshan wrote his poem about the Dharma of thusness. Part of it says, it is bright just at midnight. It doesn't appear at dawn. It acts as a guide for beings. and later, you are not it. It is actually you. And later, when the wooden man begins to sing, the stone woman gets up to dance. It's not within reach of feeling or discrimination. How could it admit of consideration in thought? Just the stone woman, the wooden man. Think whether you have given birth in literally to a baby or not doesn't matter here. Even I can tell you from experience, even having given birth, I don't know who that was. I don't know what happened. I don't know where that baby comes from. And all of us are the means of giving birth all of the time. This while we're sitting moment by moment by moment. The earth appears, beings appear. Thoughts, memories appear. I have some notes and some thoughts to share, but I think first I'd like to invite you to express what that was like for you. What happens? And you can just unmute yourself. And if you, let's do an experiment. If you put yourself on speaker view instead of gallery view, if you're on a computer, I think you'll be able to see the person who speaks or moves more, a lot larger. Let's hear or see one more, and then while I turn a light on or two, and then I'll tell you a couple of other things that I can offer. Let me see what might want to be brought in. This might be, it's part of, I think this is also part of Dogen's Mountains and Waters Sutra. It's a little bit not about the Stone Woman directly, but it says, these mountains and waters of the present are the expression of the old Buddhas, each abiding in its own Dharma state, fulfills exhaustive virtues. Because they are the circumstances, quote, prior to the kalpa of emptiness, they are this life of the present, because they are the self before the germination of any subtle sign. They are liberated in their actual occurrence. It has everything to do with the Stone Woman, I now see. Since the virtues of the mountain are high and broad, the spiritual power to ride the clouds is always mastered from the mountains. And the marvelous ability to follow the wind is inevitably liberated from the mountains. And this also connects with, some of you may remember the koan about Master Sho of Kokei, and the very sort of ending commentary of that, which says, the self that Sho sheltered, does it exist prior to the empty kalpa? So this time that Dogen is writing about here. And the commentary says, this is indeed the realm of the peaceful body establishing life. This is indeed the realm of the peaceful body establishing life. the self that exists prior. The empty kalpa is just like before anything, before there was anything, before anything happens. That's already prior to the empty kalpa, right? So you don't have to get all cosmological about it. You can just say that not even an instant before anything happens, that's already prior to the empty kalpa. Let me read it one more time because I find it so beautiful. These mountains and waters of the present, these mountains and waters of the present are the expression of the old Buddhas, each abiding in its own Dharma state, Dharma meaning like the present phenomenons, right? Phenomena in its own state of an appearance. Each abiding in its own Dharma state fulfills exhaustive virtues. You know, each of you, each of us, each appearance, each phenomenon. Because they are, so backing up, each abiding in its own Dharma state fulfills exhaustive virtues. Because they are the circumstances prior to the kalpa of emptiness. All of this stuff. They are this life of the present. Because they are the self before the germination of any subtle sign. That comes back to Jan, you're gestating the spiritual embryo. Because they are the circumstances prior to the kalpa of emptiness, they are this life of the present, because they are the self before any germination of any subtle sign. They are liberated in their actual occurrence. They get up to dance. Since the virtues of the mountain are high and broad, the spiritual power to ride the clouds is always mastered from the mountains. And the marvelous ability to follow the wind is inevitably liberated from the mountains. And then in the text that I found right after that, it says, Preceptor Kai of Mount Dayang addressed the assembly saying, the blue mountains are constantly walking. The stone woman gives birth to a child in the night. So I'm going to let that sort of settle for a few minutes, and then I want to read you something Joan wrote that will be familiar to you, but that you might not have connected with this before. Thank you. it seems to me that in order to really form and hold central our vow to benefit what can't be benefited, to do what can't be done, in order to hold that vow central in my life, I can free myself by trusting that I, just as I am, my expression of the actual body, which feels sometimes like a massive block of uncut stone, the body that isn't expressed until we express it, that my expression is acceptable, is true and good, as long as I'm quarreling with my own expression of the actual body. That quarreling kind of locks me in, and it isn't necessary. So I wonder how it is for you. Can you trust that you and everything are born in this way together all at once? Emerging and emerging and emerging, just as we are. Liberated in our actual occurrence. So I'd like to read this note that this selection from something Joan wrote. About taking up a koan because of the way I think it connects with this so much. She says, taking up a koan is entering into a fundamentally creative process, as you all just did. As in any art form, there's a tradition with knowledge and skill developed and refined over time. And there's the unique expression each of us contributes to it. Every time we take up a paintbrush or a cooking pot or a koan. We offer ourselves as the mixing ground of the vastness, the empty, radiant world we connect with through practice, and the swirl of a particular body, heart, and mind, condition, and circumstance. In a small and local way, we agree to contribute to the ongoing creation of the world. This kind of practice shifts the way we see our lives so that they too become co-creations among person, world, and vastness. What began perhaps as a spiritual or philosophical or even psychological practice becomes more like an art of life. The distinction between what happens on the meditation cushion and the so-called rest of life dissolves. We're no longer focusing on techniques and methods to fix the problem of being human, but on how, in all the moments of our lives, we can use our human capacities to help create a world more in tune with our deepest aspirations. That's the way of the Bodhisattva, someone who is, in an essential way, an artist, always refining her skills to make an offering to the world. So maybe that's enough for now. And we'll sing our Bodhisattva vows. I'll send you this stuff. All right, anybody feel like singing vows?